This is Dr. Z, Zachary Brooks, and this show is called The People Behind the PhDs. This is Dr. Z, Zachary Brooks, and welcome to the three-part interview with Dr. Michael Sale, a global professor of English for academic purposes at the joint law program between Ocean University of China and the University of Arizona in the United States of America. Let's get to the show, the people behind the PhDs. Hello, hello. This is Dr. Z, Zachary Brooks, and this show is called The People Behind the PhDs. What's that? Well, we'll get to that. And my sixth and very special guest today is Dr. Michael Sale. Dr. Sale researches bilingual figurative language processing. That's a lot, so I'll repeat it. Bilingual figurative language processing. You have to tell us about that in a bit. Dr. Sale is a global professor, which is one of the coolest titles anyone in the world can have. Like, how many global professors do you know? I know one, and he's sitting next to me. So global professor for English for academic purposes. All of that sounds super complex and super interesting, and he's going to tell us about that at some point. But first, he's going to tell us about who he is and where he's from and what led him to this incredible journey of becoming a professor. So, Dr. Sale, Mike, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Good. So, the first thing I always like to ask guests is, you know, where they're born and where they're raised, what they were like as kids, you know, what were you interested in, what kind of big events happened in your life, and just kind of go from there. It usually takes a few minutes, and go ahead and share, and I'll interrupt you if I think there's something that I think is super interesting or might be interesting for a listener. So just let me interrupt you if I think there's something interesting that you haven't really hit on yet. So go ahead and tell us about you.
Sure, sure. So I was born in a small city in Arkansas while my father was going to school to get his bachelor's degree in nursing. We moved from there not too long after that, moved to Michigan. Let me get this list of cities that grew up in.
Or places. So starting in Arkansas.
Started in Arkansas. Michigan, from there to Washington State, down to Texas, to Illinois, to Memphis, then to here in Arizona, actually Mesa in particular, then to Albuquerque, from there to Suffolk, England, to specifically RAF Lakenheath. And then from there, at the time I came back to do my my undergraduate degree, my folks had moved to Maryland, and I went back to school at the same school that I was born at.
In Arkansas?
In Arkansas.
Okay.
They then moved from there to Texas, and that's where I would go to visit them whenever I'd come back from summer or winter. Then from there, after I graduated, I moved off to China, and my folks then moved to back here to Arizona. Tucson. So
I count 10 states, two countries, three countries.
Something like that. I know there are friends of mine who have lived in a lot more places than me, but it's a litany of, yeah.
But that's how travel goes, right? You always have traveler's envy. If you've traveled a lot, you always know one other person who's traveled more than you, and so you always compare yourself to the person who's moved more than you have. But 10 states, three countries, by most standards, is a lot of moving.
It is. It is, but I don't know what else to add to that.
Okay.
It's a lot of moving around. As far as what I was like as a kid, very much like I am now. Very very introverted, very very quiet. Don't like to do a lot of social stuff. Still don't like to do a lot of social stuff, but...
Stories. Stories are humanity's original technology, so I'm proud to carry on the traditional technology and share this story with you. Whether you're on an iPhone or an Android, whether you're on Apple, Spotify, or another podcast service, whether you're at home, in your car, at work, on public transportation, working out, or just walking around, I dedicate my shows to you. Dr. Z Productions and Podcasts, Consequential Stories for Life.
Over time, that you have to do it. And you so learn that.
All those introverts out there, you have to learn to do some stuff sometimes.
You must learn that you do your hour or 2 hours, and then you go back home and you curl up with a book or you curl up with a decent TV show. And yeah, that's how that goes.
Okay, so tell us, so all this moving, so I moved a lot as well in my life, and I have this sort of theory that when you move a lot, you either become really extroverted for survival, or you become extra introverted for survival, and both have, clear reasons why you would become one or the other. Is it because all the moving you did, you became introverted, or do you think you just are introverted?
Oh no, I think it moved me toward the middle.
Oh, so moving, so you're introverted, and the moving made you a little bit less introverted.
I'm pretty certain that's what happened.
Okay, so tell us about some of these places along the way. I mean, was your father in the military? Is that why you guys moved so much?
Not at the beginning, no.
Because you started in Arkansas, then Michigan, and so forth.
Now, forgive me if I make some of these some factual errors in what I'm about to state about the 80s, but in the 80s, from what I've come to understand, especially in the hospital management field, there were a lot of hospitals that were trying to bring about new changes within their staffing, trying to break up old cliques, and so they would hire low-level managers to come in, as middle management, to break up cliques, and then they would hire them for only a year or two, maybe, and then more or less fire them or let them go, and they'd have to go off and find something else. So there were a couple of places where my father got caught up in that. That was a few of the places whenever I was younger. After that, when we were in Memphis, that was around 91 or so, 92. If you recall, that's the first Iraq War. At that time, my father happened to be a civilian, but he was working with the Air National Guard out of Mississippi, for some reason in Memphis, but working with the Air National Guard out of Mississippi. And they gave him a choice. You can either go medevac and go to Iraq, or you can turn active duty Air Force and go to Arizona. Didn't want to go to Iraq, so he went to Arizona,
Okay. Which
was probably the wiser idea. Well, probably the wiser idea.
Okay.
So anyway, so there was that. It was about that point that he went active duty military, and from there we moved around a lot.
We'll hold you to the probably.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, how long were you at each of these places? I mean, like 1 year, were you at like grade one in one place and grade two in a different place and grade five in a different place? I mean, that's...
Before I think it was second grade, it had been 1 or 2 years at each place. After second grade, it was about 3 or 4 years each place.
Okay.
As per the military and what they do.
What place stands out to you the most? Like, do you have any place that stands out as far as some of your best recollections or where you started developing your own sense of self?
Well, two places, and I think a lot of people would identify with this. During their teenage years, you tend to remember a lot more. You tend to start looking at how you developed your own ways of thinking or the ways that you think that you think that you're thinking.
Say that again.
So Albuquerque was a great place. It was one of the first places that I recognized, or that I was able to recognize, that there was that there were racial components to schooling and to school divisions. So one of the interesting things about Albuquerque, at least at the time that I was there, again, I have no idea if this has changed since then, but was that They were concerned, as they should be, about the racial makeup of the different high schools, because you don't want certain high schools to be all white and then other high schools to be all black and Latino.
And also New Mexico has a lot of Navajo and Indian population too.
Yeah, in Albuquerque, I didn't encounter a lot of that. But again,
okay, there was an,
as a teenager,
okay.
I'm not paying attention to a lot of those things. But what the Albuquerque government seemed to have decided to do was they said, all right, if you live on base housing, you are going to be shipped to Albuquerque High School, which was at least a half hour to an hour away by bus,
wow,
as opposed to going to a school like Highland High School, which was maybe 10-minute drive away, mm-hmm, right? There was some questioning about that, about why that was happening, and it came up that it was an issue of, racial divisions, making sure that we had a little more racial mixing within Albuquerque schools. I was able to go to a closer school because of medical reasons for my brother.
But okay.
That's another
story. So how old were you during this time frame?
So we had moved there, been there from, what was it, 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th grades.
Okay.
Was there. So half of middle school, half of high school.
Okay, so important years for sure.
For sure.
Okay.
And then after that, moving to England, that would have been that was actually a great experience, because the Department of Defense schools are not, they're not known for being great, great schools, but they try, and especially if you are in another, especially if you are in a location overseas, there's a lot of affordances that you have. There's a lot of opportunities for kids to go and experience cultures, to go and.
Yeah.
To go and see the art and the music that are there. As strange as it may seem, England, of course, is still should be considered a foreign country in relation to the United States, because even though we share a common language, there are large differences between the way that we perceive things, between the things that we consider our cultural.
Thanks for listening to part one of the interview with Dr. Michael Sale, a global professor at the joint law program between Ocean University of China and the University of Arizona in the USA. To continue listening, visit drz.net/download. That's dr-z.net/download. You can also follow me on Facebook at Dr. Z Podcasts and Instagram at drznet. As always, happy deciding. The People Behind the PhDs is conceived, written, produced, and edited by Dr. Z, that's me, Zachary Brooks, PhD, in Dr. Z Productions and Podcasts. Learn more at drz.net/about. That's dr-z.net/about.